grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 191 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here with you, coming at you live from Katy, Texas today. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So we got all the turkeys out there in the world doing turkey things, mainly sitting there dead, waiting to become a carapace, not just a carcass, waiting to just become a big sack of bones and broth later. Thanksgiving. That's what this whole episode's about, everybody. We do this live every year, typically while we're cooking right now. Yeah. We've got a new smoker outside that just got seasoned, getting ready to have the bird thrown in it here in just a little while. We're letting that kind of marinate in its juice and do its thing and getting ready to cook and eat this evening. So it's been a long time since you've been on the show, Randy. Been a crazy long time. How's things been?
It's been a while, yeah. It's been good. It's been good. I think the last time I was on was, we talked about something, a bunch of sci-fi books and robots and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Boston Dynamics stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were talking about crystal caves, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Maybe.
It was a long, long time ago. It's been quite a while since you've been on an episode, so welcome back.
Well, I'm glad you got me.
Yeah. Captive audiences, you know, what can you do? Also, of course, my beautiful wife, Amy Jordan, is here with us.
My beautiful sister-in-law.
Yeah, host of the Yes But Why podcast on the HC Universal Network. If you're into comedy and improv and writing.
With those beautiful face on the radio.
We're here today just kind of talking about Thanksgiving, what Thanksgiving means in America, why we do Thanksgiving. Why is Thanksgiving such an, like, we all know the myth of Thanksgiving that we are sold in school as children, that the pilgrims came over and the helpful Indians came and helped them out. And, you know, they all sat around and had a huge feast together and right. Then did it every year after that. Utter farce. Not true at all.
Well, if that's the case, then the Canadians and the Indians were nicer about a month ago, because Canadian Thanksgiving's a month before.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The whole Plymouth Rock tale, all that kind of stuff it's beautiful in theory. The fact is, they had a hard winter. They were preparing for some stuff and trying to get through it, literally just trying to live, man. Where are we now from the time of that myth and the creation of that myth and what we've come to believe as America? What do we believe about Thanksgiving now? You know, like, personally, why do we insist on carrying on the tradition of Thanksgiving, I guess?
So we get 2 days off of work.
Okay, that's a plus.
It's a federal holiday. We can't, like, get away from federal holidays. There's actually a number of federal holidays that exist that nobody knows why they are still, like, you know, people are getting the day off. They're like, what? Yeah. Oh, why is that closed?
Yeah.
You know, things aren't, that thing isn't as important. But I personally think that it's, well, I'm negative, but I think it's just the kickoff of the holiday season. It's an excuse for capitalism to start the, like, month-long bonanza that is Christmas shopping.
Oh, no, right. That's what Halloween is. That's Halloween. That's just how capitalism has taken an actual day of celebration for one religion in the world and said, okay, great. This is now just the gateway to Christmas.
Just now you were like, we all know the hill of beans they tell us about the first Thanksgiving, but what really is it? So I Googled it.
Let us know.
And Wikipedia, which clearly is where all the facts are.
Sure.
But I'm on Wikipedia, to be honest.
It's the first thing that's going to come up, folks.
And,
be real.
And it says that George Washington said, hey, let's have this party. that they didn't celebrate it every year until Abraham Lincoln made it a federal holiday. But when he made it a federal holiday, he proclaimed it a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So it was a religious thing to Abraham Lincoln. And certainly from that point forth until FDR changed it to the fourth Thursday of November and didn't, I'm going to do some more research, but there doesn't seem to be too much in the way of why he did that or if it further has to do with religion for him or what.
Well, and, you know, even getting into that, just the root of that, the Father in heaven, like if you go into the whole founding fathers tradition, and it, especially with the concept of
masonry, very deist thing to say.
Well, and I don't think that a lot of our founding fathers, whenever they said, like, Father in heaven, they were looking at it as, like, the big G in the light. The grand architect, right, more than anything else, than the Judeo-Christian God that we believe in.
I guess that sounds similar to me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds similar, but it's more, if you look at it, like, it's very interesting even to look at the history of Masonic tradition and the fact that once you go through the doors of the Masonic temple, there is no talk about politics or religion. It is verboten. Doesn't matter if you're Islamic on the outside and I'm Catholic and he's Baptist. We don't. We can talk about the architect, but we don't talk about your religion, my religion, his religion.
Who is this?
The Masons. The Masons. The founding fathers.
That's. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I know some Masons, and I feel like Christianity is a cornerstone of the old Masons.
Most of them are Christian, true. But once you go into the Masonic temple, that's, you don't talk about Jesus, you don't talk about Allah, you don't talk about Jehovah. It turns into the big capital G, the architect, the one consciousness out there that brought us all to being, no matter what you believe, whether you're a pagan outside of those doors, whether you're Christian, whether you're Islamic. Doesn't matter. Inside, we all live in harmony and unity because our goal as Masons is to make ourselves right, is to make that right angle, to make that sharp angle of the square, to make yourself a square man, a square human being in society. And it's interesting to even explore that. I didn't even intend for this to happen, but it's a really interesting veer to go off on.
You're now talking about the Masons, and that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, we're talking about what Thanksgiving means.
Yeah, but the Masons apparently have nothing to do with it. They're not at all in this Wikipedia article.
No, we're talking about the founding fathers, Abraham Lincoln, people like that. Why George Washington said, "Let's celebrate Thanksgiving."
Thomas
why
Jefferson didn't like it?
I'm sure he didn't.
Okay. It's cooking
happening
right now.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, this is,
watch out. Don't cut yourself.
Live and unfiltered.
Live and don't cut yourself.
But it, I don't know. I think that philosophically the idea of Thanksgiving goes beyond the religious. It goes beyond that. It's really more finding something that we're trying to carry on, trying to bring to the next generation. That's where my idea of Thanksgiving lies. Something that you're not necessarily trying to perpetuate, like the story of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but no, I can. You know, you look back at its origins, and you know, to the harvest festival and giving thanks for a bountiful harvest in times of difficulty and all of that, and. You know, it's kind of like that Masonic philosophy you're talking about, where people of all different faiths come in and they talk, and the primary focus is on the great architect, not on my God, your God, his God, her God, but it's on the God that we all have in common.
Yeah.
And so it takes religion out of it, and it's more just an acknowledgement of the overarching beneficent intelligence in the universe and giving thanks to that. So Thanksgiving is something that's celebrated regardless of creed.
Yes.
You don't have to have a particular creed to celebrate and be thankful.
Yeah, so, it's not a religious-based holiday anymore.
Yeah.
It's not something that that is required. The religious part is something that was a big deal when they really locked it in. But my mild amount of research into the FDR library indicates that I was correct that retailers wanted an extra week for Christmas shopping, so they made him put it on the 4th. It used to be November 30th or whenever the president decided, but they decided to put it on the Thursday of November, so there was an extra week of shopping for Christmas.
Good.
Capitalism is number one.
Yeah.
That's capitalism right. Amen. It's God America. All the time in America, yeah.
It should win over God anywhere. But, well, without capitalism, where are we going to get all the money to help God?
That's right.
Does God really need money?
He doesn't, but the people who were trying to help in his name do.
Well, okay.
God needs your money.
Yeah. Yes. God himself does not need a new G5 jet.
What?
But his servant does.
What?
His servant does? I mean, his servant does. I don't think any servant of God needs a G5 jet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, Creflo Dollar. Happy Thanksgiving.
Sharing food with
I think it's one of the Gospels where Jesus said, "Dust if your message is not accepted, dust the dirt from your sandals and get in your G5 jet."
Yeah. Yeah,
make haste. That was the Gospel of Thomas, and you know it. Get that out of here.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, Gospel of Boeing. But you know, it's interesting, even what you were just saying, Randy, about trying to make something where everybody is thankful, and it's, you know, right now in America we are probably against one of the greatest cruxes societally that we have ever been in. We're just under 300 years old, like not extraordinarily old in terms of world, in terms of culture, things like that. But as a societal experiment, which America really was, it was really more of a political experiment, to look at that and really kind of try to see where we've come to now, where we have this huge rift in our country again, so much so that Thanksgivings are not happening this year in some homes across America.
What?
There are homes in America where that side of the family just didn't welcome this year.
Those people are stupid and tools of whatever construct is they're allowing to drive them apart and not see things rationally.
That's stupid. Expound on that, Randy.
That it's stupid.
May I expound on that?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I believe that the number one reason why it is terrible to let silly things like current day politics get in the way of family is a furtherance of what is the root cause of our issues right now, which is people are not treating each other very nicely. We have forgotten the idea of treating someone the way you want to be treated. And so there have been very many instances in all different ways in which people have been mistreating their neighbor, mistreating the people around them, mistreating the people that they date, mistreating the idea of the community that they want to develop, mistreating their position as a senator or a boss or a CEO. People aren't working from their heart anymore. They're not trying to make the world a better place with everything that they're doing. And I think that is separating us. It's causing all these rifts, all of these little societal changes are happening because different groups are like, wait a minute, stop being mean to each other, and then group by group by group, that's what's happening, and then it's breaking it down even more. So I think we've just gone too far being mean to each other, not taking care of each other, not being, I don't know, human beings over opinionated individuals. And that's what's leading us down a rough road that says, I can't talk to my uncle because he voted some way I don't agree with.
Yeah. Right.
It's a symptom of small minds. I mean, that's what it is. It's a symptom of people with small minds, and that becomes small hearts. And you know, what was I about to say?
You spent too much time being offended.
There you go.
I thought you were holding yourself back because you were afraid to offend.
No, I was trying to find the way to put it, but you know, if Darwinism would apply to those people, I'd be perfectly fine with that. You know, people win the Darwin Awards for being stupid and dying. If people let their small mindedness totally destroy them, I'd be fine with that too. Be stupid.
That being said, I would argue that even that feeds into the same thing. Feeds into the same well of hatred of other people that disagree
with
you.
Right. Well, yeah.
There's so many people.
How can you justify your reaction when you're reacting the same way as the bonehead that you're just now criticizing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the way that people are interacting with one another is that they're not trying to see the opposite point of view. They're not trying to open their minds to it. And here's the thing. You don't have to agree with it or like that other person.
No.
You just have to acknowledge it. Like, I'm always like, oh, well, the reason why they did that was money. And they're like, but do you think that was right? No, I'm just telling you why they did it.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a reason behind it. I'm not saying I agree with it.
It makes sense that this person works, everything they've done so far has been making money. And so what they're going to do is they're going to make more money. You know, like, so that's the way they're going to make decisions. You know,
right.
You can see actions speak louder than words. Always, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
I have something to say.
Go ahead, Brenda, Mom.
And this is Chris and Randy's mom, who's appeared from the cooking.
Right.
I think that I can look back in my life as a kid, growing up in the '60s, and seeing controversial things happening, but I do not. I see that since 9/11, since that tragic thing that caused death, prior to 9/11, it's like we were known as the most diverse and accepting people there were. We accepted people from other cultures, and then, you know, we opened the door to allow them to come in. And then after 9/11, all of a sudden, finger pointing started. I don't want you to do that because it offends me and my culture. You know, we lost sight of the fact that this is our country. Mm-hmm. And if you want to come here and be accepted, we'll open our arms and accept you. But don't ask me to change what our culture says to us.
The problem is that you're essentially saying, if you want to come in, you got to do it my way. And that's not really... It's the same kind of argument we're having, which is... You need to let people be who they are.
Exactly.
And think what they want to think.
But don't let every whim that anybody else has make you change your views and your culture.
Sure.
Well, sure. Absolutely.
There's just not a tolerance of differences now as there were when I was younger.
It's funny because I like legitimately can't imagine that there was tolerance of any kind when you were growing up. like especially you grew up in Texas in a while back where they hated black people, and I can't imagine they were very nice to Mexican people. So I appreciate that there's this idea that you have that there's pointing, but realistically, like,
I can tell you
it was racist as hell all the time.
I can tell you a story to back that up. My parents migrated here. My parents and my family on both sides migrated here when I was 2 years old. They migrated here from Louisiana. And yeah, we knew we were Cajun, but the derogatory term, Cunass, wasn't known And when they came here, my daddy had a crooked nose, and he said it was because he thought he had to fight everybody that called him a Kunitz. He had been broken two or three times. But it was a derogatory term, and we took it as insulting, but we were the incoming people, and it's like, you know, we tried to kind of, we didn't impose certain values and principles and, you know, cultural celebrations and things on them. We just did it for our own culture. Gathered us all together, and we had our own Cajun celebration, though we were in Texas.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, you know. Sure, you're different than me. I accept that. You want to celebrate this. I accept that. I may not believe in it, but I accept that it's yours.
Well,
so turn it around to me and don't force me to, you know, abolish all of my cultural ideals and celebrations.
Perhaps that's the crux. It's the force.
Well, I think one of the issues that we do have, especially with that, is the not necessarily the integration, but the assimilation of culture. We do have people that come over a much, and my mom is absolutely correct. We talked about it in the episode with Ken Mo for Halloween. The fact is the Cajun culture is one of the only cultures that is native to America, unique to America. It speaks a form of French that dates back to the 1700s. It is the oldest form of spoken French in the world, in all actuality.
But we're not talking about actual Native American cultures.
Well, we're talking about a culture native to America.
Okay.
That was a blend of people from Acadia and the Native Americans.
Born after the original settlers from England came through, though.
Yeah, we're talking the 1700s, late 1700s, early 1800s, whenever the migration happened and the exile from Canada. I don't know, other than being Catholic and not wanting a king, what you have to do to get exiled from Canada. But that was pretty much it.
I don't know, at this point, I think he's ready to kick anyone who's American.
We were exiled because we didn't.
But when you're talking about the assimilation of culture, and especially what my mom is talking about, not necessarily you losing your culture when you come to America, but adopting American culture into your culture. Because it definitely was the case in Louisiana whenever missionaries came and stuff like that, that the Cajun culture was beaten out of children. You are hard-pressed to find any child in Cajun Louisiana right now under the age of, you know, into the 20s and below that speaks Cajun, that understands it, that reads and writes it. The songs, the music is almost gone. And yeah, like she said, we hold on to threads of that. We do everything that we can to maintain that Cajun culture. But at the same time, we assimilated to the culture of Texas whenever we came. That's definitely an issue that a lot of people have, is when you come to America, adopt some of the American culture. Sure.
Not so much adopt it. You don't have to adopt it. Nobody's forcing anyone to abandon theirs.
No.
It's the fact that at least it seems that the intent is there that you must accept mine and you must revere mine as much as I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Be damned whatever you feel.
Yeah.
People who lived here before.
Yes.
And.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
No.
That's not right.
No, it isn't right. And I think that especially whenever we're talking about traditions like Thanksgiving, things like that, you know, even on the way over here, Amy today was like, "My God, do you think the corner store will be open?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. Why wouldn't they be open? They sell gasoline. A lot of people driving today. There is that expectation with a lot of people that, well, it's a holiday. Why would you not be off? I remember when I lived in Maine, my bar owner at the Ale House, Russ, asked us all one year, like, hey, and like, y'all want to be open for Christmas? Like, it's up to you guys. Like, seems like most of the time y'all are kicking around anyway or whatever. What do y'all say? And it was like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And it ended up being one of our most busy days of the year. Because, yeah, people are done with their families at a certain point of the day. They want to go out and just live their life like they normally do. There are some people who don't even have family to go to.
There's some people that don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
And appreciate going to a bar on their day off.
Like my boss, who was Jewish. He was not celebrating Christmas one lick. He was like, I'm all set. Let's make some money if we can make some money.
For years, my Jewish friends used to go to the Chinese buffet every Christmas, and they'd tell us mm-hmm. how it was and send us pictures.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was about to make a Christmas story reference, yeah. and that just seems very racist for me to do. So much.
Slightly. Slightly.
Good luck watching all your holiday favorites. I hope that you can separate yourself from all of the really terrible,
yeah. Have another drink.
Yeah.
Sort of political and racist things that are in all of your favorite holiday movies.
Would it technically be a Szechuan restaurant or a Mandarin restaurant?
I couldn't
tell you.
Just Chinese?
It's Chinese. A buffet.
It's got all of it.
Yeah, when it's a buffet, I'm pretty sure they have a section for like
French
fries and chicken nuggets.
How did sushi end up in there?
Right.
But that's even interesting though, because it like
traditional Chinese people.
The concept of tradition has changed. I saw earlier today one of my friends.
What kind of madness are we talking
his
about?
His family's new
sushi in a Chinese buffet.
His family's new tradition is they order Thanksgiving from Cracker Barrel.
That's beautiful,
dude. That sounds great. I bet you that would be awesome,
right? He was like, "Hey, just so y'all know, like all those dishes and stuff you're doing, Cracker Barrel delivers Thanksgiving dinner." Like you can order your Thanksgiving dinner and it's done and you don't have to cook it.
Kroger's done that for 30 years.
Oh
now,
yeah, yeah. Randall's used to do it,
but them too.
Well, Cracker Barrel, dude.
I mean,
it's by John Cracker.
Cracker Barrel.
And his friend Susie Barrel.
You getting them cheese biscuits
that's
with
his
it.
Actual last name. We're not mispronouncing.
Okay.
Yes.
It was Cracker Barrel.
You know, if you were making a racial comment there.
I couldn't imagine how I get it now. I was like, what?
Well, and, you know, the question comes to bear, what is tradition? You know, like we hold these things sacred in our society. We hold this stuff like up on a pedestal. How is it that you go about making a new tradition? How is it that you go about, like, we're a young couple, we're a young family now, you know, we got a kid.
We're a young couple. We're not young.
Our relationship is young, baby. That's what I'm saying. If you want to say we're old, that's cool. As long as you're in there, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think similar to what Brenda was talking about, when you get married, you find a way to honor the existing traditions that you had going, and you try to make new ones to, you know, create something. So, you know, while yes, because I'm closer to your family, I end up just doing what your family does.
Yeah.
My family doesn't do anything particularly different.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, my mom and sister are legitimately doing this, like having turkey.
Yeah.
You know, they're not podcasting, but
yeah.
They're, that would be hilarious. But you know, you end up doing different kinds of stuff. Right now, this being a tradition.
Yes.
Because we've done it 3 times, right? So podcasting on Thanksgiving is a tradition. What I think is really funny, especially with this particular episode, is that we like pretty much started politics and religion, like just up top straight away.
Yeah.
And I was like, good, let's do this. This seems like a really hilarious tradition to be like,
No.
All right, now that we're all together, let's all reveal our political and religious beliefs.
But that, and what's funny, though, is that's what I've seen on social media for, like, the last week and a half. It's like, oh, get ready for all the Thanksgiving table talk. You know, like, I don't even know if I'm going to family Thanksgiving this year. Oof. You know, like, and it's just hilarious to me how, like we were saying earlier, that, like Randy said, that's asinine. That's asinine. Because somebody voted a different way than you, you're not going to sit at the same table.
Right.
Because that's what's going to help the cause on both sides of the fence.
I think I said stupid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I prefer asinine.
Yeah, stupid. It's
closer to a $12 word, but not quite. About,
people think
it's about tree fitting.
About tree fitting. Is the action that is speaking louder than their words, though.
Yes.
That's what they think. They think, you know, not shopping at a store or whatever, or like doing. But realistically, that part isn't going to stop it. Like,
no.
Like, I'm very negative, so I just think we're on a moving train towards destruction and just like enjoy the ride. But like.
Is that negative or cynical?
Yeah, cynical is the right word. I mean, there's a negative bent to the vibe of what things aren't going well ever in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
yeah,
well,
cynicism. Well, cynicism in and of itself involves a certain amount of negativity. If not negativity, at the least pessimism.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Negative is like really negative. But pessimism's all right.
But it's different when you just expect the worst.
Yeah, that's kind of. I just have a lot of theories that are terrible.
Well,
so that's.
Yeah, and you acknowledge that that's as good as it's going to get. So,
well,
yeah, there's no negative about it. It's just acceptance.
This is just reality.
Okay, if you're three drinks in right now and you're listening to this and you're like, how do I feel better?
I'm three
about
drinks
the
in.
I'm three drinks in
my
right now.
Theory
and I'm
is,
talking about this.
My theory is that I'm always saying this. Oh, God, did I just forget my theory? My theory is that people are too stupid to accomplish the crazy, terrible things you think the government is going to do.
Ah!
I truly believe
that
they're too dumb to accomplish. Not the specifics. Everyone. All humans. We don't have the follow-through. We're not going to make it from let's do this terrible thing to all the way through unless you can really get other people to back you up. And there's so much dissension. I don't think there's any group that's got any backing.
I think they have that
like
down,
World
though.
War III? You're talking about like World War III?
Well, I mean, you know, people
we're talking
like,
the capital
oh, the
T days.
Trying to big brother this kind of thing that, you know,
conspiracies.
They're trying to follow. I'm like, guys, it's not going to happen. Think of all the paperwork. Or like when they talk about all the cameras and like, oh man, I can't believe they're all watching us. Well, they're watching some people, they're not watching everyone. There's not enough people in the world to watch everyone.
Oh, that's what the AI's for.
Oh, exactly.
They just released. They just released in China an AI connected to street cameras that can recognize people by their gait.
Yes.
By how they walk. They don't even need to see your face.
That's fine. The robots are a different story. Robots are different than humans. I'm saying humans can't.
No, they're stupid.
Crap. I'm saying robots will kill us all.
Robots are stupider than us. What, are you joking?
What?
Not when you stick an AI in them.
No, they're still stupid.
AI, you're real nice.
They're
stupid.
I just think we all need to lighten up, learn how to take a joke, and learn how to laugh at yourself.
True that.
You know, jeez.
True that.
Try to laugh at yourself, everyone.
I know.
That'll keep the AI away.
In our family, if
unless the AI starts laughing.
Stupid.
Ha ha ha.
Brandon, if you'd like to join the conversation, come over here by the microphone, please.
In parentheses on the screen, maniacal laugh.
Right.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. But, you know, I would posit the fact that. In reference to what you were just saying, that there's no way that there's a nefarious scheme going on because the cogs just couldn't be put into place. There's no way that everybody would cooperate on that end.
Yeah, we're much more likely to crumble than we are to have overlord action.
I would posit the fact that it is utterly possible. The likelihood of some nefarious plot, pretty doubtful. But the wheels of machination to make it happen, absolutely possible. And I give absolute proof positive evidence of this. For 10 years, we had almost 500,000 to 750,000 people across this country assembling the most nefarious weapon ever known to man, and not a single one of them knew they were doing it.
Sex robots?
Yes. Yeah. Nuclear-powered sex robots.
Yes, okay.
That explode and destroy small cities.
But the name of the sex robot company was A-Bomb.
Yeah.
A-Bomb?
Yeah. It was Los Alamos.
That's right. Well, it's a good thing Houston has banned them now.
That's right. That's right. Right. But
no, sex robots.
Sex robots. Sex robots. Oh, yeah. But, you know, the Manhattan Project was done under utter cover of darkness.
Nowhere near Manhattan.
But hundreds of thousands of people across the country built this part and that part, and that's all they did on that assembly line all day was build that part. I have no idea what that part's for. I just build this part.
A piece of
straight wire comes by me and it stops for a second, and I wind it into a spring, and then I let it go, and another piece of straight wire comes by and I wind it into a spring, and all I do all day long is build 10,000 springs every day.
Well, now we have robots to build our springs.
We have robots building robots.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, the mechanism's there. We don't, going back 60 or 70 years, nobody knew that mechanism was there.
No.
To create such a thing.
Yeah.
But somebody knew.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody put the mechanism in place.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, much like we were saying in the episode Tuesday night with Raul Diego of Deep City Chronicles. Go on by deepcitychronicles.com, everybody. Check out Borderline, The Unhinged Truth of the Drug War, part 3 just released. And Amy watched it with me the other night. And just to see that machination, and you know me, Randy, I've got like that fractal spider web mind that sees all these crazy connections. But when I saw the fact that in 1972 they put forth the legislation saying that the president could make trade agreements whenever he wants without the permission of Congress, and then on the back end of that said intellectual property is now a matter of national security. So if you're gonna infringe upon an American patent, we can come go to war with you. That's a matter of national security. Hmm. That means we can now drop troops on your doorstep because you violated a U.S. patent. Crazy sauce. When you start marrying that with the fact of...
Now, why haven't we done that with all the companies copying iPhone technology?
Oh, we have.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the scary part is we're in a trade war right now over intellectual property.
Oh. I thought it was because Donald Trump was crazy.
Well, partially.
Okay.
Now, he's just a side situation.
Yeah. He's utterly the puppet on the hand
he's
of the ventriloquist.
Oh, he's right. He's right. He's
he the is the puppet on the hand.
He's not the puppet on
you
whose hand.
You don't want to know whose hand, it is.
The deep state that he keeps talking about, baby.
Whose hand is up his butt? We don't know.
The deep state?
Yeah.
I thought that was Obama's butt.
No, that's
all
been everybody's butt.
Every butt.
Are you joking?
I don't
know. It's your butt. You just don't know.
Good God. Papa Bush was one of the progenitors of the deep state.
Can you rear me?
Like, you know.
Papa, can you rear me?
Yeah.
Don't spit it out.
Yeah. Don't spit beer all over the place. What's wrong with you?
That's good beer. Swallow that.
Oh, yeah. My God. So
that's
much,
bohemian.
So much equipment in front of me. Legitimately almost spit take. Chris would have killed me.
I would like to thank Michael Devine of the Gray Matters podcast for providing some of the nice Yingling beverage for today. We're also having a little bit of Modelo from our friends down south.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the government of Mexico for allowing Modelo to be brewed in Mexico.
Yep. As well as Shock Top for making this amazing Sunset Orange. Folks, if you haven't found the blood orange version of a Shock Top, wow.
Shock Top,
amazing.
What Carrot Top's doing these days?
No.
Would be a fun venture, just saying. I hear he's trying to get ripped. So.
He is ripped.
Oh, well.
He is like Joe Piscopo, frighteningly ripped.
Poor guy's just working out.
Yeah.
He's just healthy. Let him be healthy.
Well, and he
represents vegetables.
No.
Vegetables and prop comedy.
He represents a horrible, horrible name for redheaded people.
Aww.
Yeah.
He just took it.
He did. Jeez. He did. He owned it.
Given it.
Owned it, as you might say in the realm of the bully. but as we get ready to close things out, wrap this episode, talking about Thanksgiving, talking about what Thanksgiving means, why we try to carry on these traditions in the world. Like even the conversation that we're having right now, the back and forth, the thrust parry block of retort and conversation is a tradition around the kitchen table in America that is long lost.
Yes, but realistically, the four of us in this room right now mostly all agree. So it's difficult.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, we agree enough that we have our base ideas. In the families where you are so far from each other's ideas, the issue for me is not should you talk to those people or should you give their opinions credence. You need to listen to the people around you, and not because you have to agree with them. You don't have to agree with them.
No.
You just have to hear why they're saying it. Because
that's right.
If you actually believe in your cause, you want to back up your cause, you need to know what the other side is saying. So you need to listen. You need to figure out what these people are saying and are interested in and what's going on. You know what I mean? It's important to know every side of an argument. If you're going to represent something, if you're going to
be
the person who's like, I believe in this. This is, do all your research. Know everything you can about it so that you really can help and actually help. Don't just whine and complain.
Yeah.
Help.
Well, and I think the biggest part, like you were just saying, Amy, is the listening. Randy, go ahead.
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. But
it's about family members listening to one another. No, families who potentially disagree.
No. It's Thanksgiving or any family holiday is not the place for your activism. Get over yourself. Nobody really cares about your political point of view. Nobody cares if you like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump or vote red or vote blue or elephants or donkeys. That's not what this shit's about. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I know you all wanted it, and there it is.
And on that note, quite honestly, your opinion and 50 cents will buy you a cup of coffee at any gas station in America.
Get over yourself. That's what...
Exactly.
Thanksgiving...
Gas stations are open.
That's right.
They're all open. Feel free to go buy some coffee.
A day to be thankful. Spend time with your family and give thanks for the fact that you're all alive.
Yeah,
who
that
cares?
You woke up this morning.
Who cares what Uncle Jed voted for or didn't vote for? And
you live in the country where everybody wants to go.
Yeah.
There are 10,000 people coming north to a place that is clearly the worst place for them, and they won't stop.
A quarter of them are probably jihadists, but that doesn't matter.
Well, and that's the perfect example, Amy, is the fact that
everybody forgets that fact. This is where people want to freaking be.
Everyone wants
to be. At our worst.
Even
at our worst.
Okay, let me just say this. As someone with this unique personal influence, that even the people who are most critical of our country want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? Even the people who are most critical of our politics, of our politicians, of everything, this is where you can come and not be persecuted for your beliefs. All you assholes out there who are persecuting people because of their political beliefs, get over yourself.
Yeah.
That's the whole foundation of this country, is to be able to exercise your political belief without persecution.
Skippy.
So if you don't like Donald Trump, who cares? Vote better next time.
Yeah.
Get over the fact that this stuff happened 2 years ago. You got two more years. Make it better if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful I live in a country where I can have my political belief and you can have yours. And if you don't like it, well, you know what? Save it for somewhere other than the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
You know what is so sad is that you're fortunate enough to live in a country where you can have a say-so on how government is run or who's running that government and everything. And just like the midterm elections, look at the push and the way that they had to cajole and drag people to the polls.
Yeah, but that pushing and cajoling has been done for the last 20, 30 years,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, but why? You should be...
Because Americans are freaking lazy.
Well, there's
they
the
want
point.
It with absolutely no effort.
Exactly.
They want somebody to make
exactly.
the decision for them.
And then they sit
and
back
if it isn't made the way that they wanted...
Then you resurrect dead upset. People and get them to vote.
Or, easily done.
Or allow illegal people who are not citizens to vote.
All kinds of stuff happens. Right. And
but you know what? Out of all the bullshit that my country does, I love my country.
That's it.
And I know everyone else out there does too. Or like Amy said, there wouldn't be a caravan of 10,000 fucking people trying to bang down the doors.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I keep telling people all the time is the foolishness you're talking about election-wise happens on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. Happens unilaterally, folks. But yet still, with all that foolishness, with recounts, with people getting elected that we didn't want and everything else, we are still amongst any country in the world. I would challenge you to look at the numbers. We are still the most fought-after country to get into. We are still the one that everybody the world over wants to come to.
Right. Well.
And that I think... is really the point here is that we need to get to the point where we aren't waiting our turn to talk, where we're actively listening to people, where when we say, no. What do you believe? That we actively shut our mouth and listen to what that person says, and then maybe not even respond to what they say. Just go, wow, okay. Was just curious.
Right.
And just leave it at that. And just absorb it and make it a part of yourself. Either you believe what they believe or you don't believe what they believe. But that's no reason to point a finger, call a name, to make somebody feel less than for believing what they believe. That gets us nowhere. That's nothing. And as someone who's taught ages 4 to 40, I've been asked the deepest question in the world by a 4-year-old and the most stupid question in the world by a 40-year-old. The only difference is by age 40, you should know better than to pull people's hair. We are all, as adults, just as selfish as that baby sleeping in the other room. And that baby is just as deep as any of us at 40 years old.
There you go.
And that's what we have to realize is that everybody's opinion is valid. Everybody's. The idea is that we're supposed to put them in a jar and look at all of them at the same time. We aren't supposed to pick and choose what we want. Opinions are opinions. They're what we believe. We believe what we believe for personal reasons. And to dismiss that, to let that go in this country, is to let America go. It is to let the founding and the tradition of this beautiful country and the beautiful philosophy that started, to go right back to the beginning of the episode, that started this political experiment known as America. There is no other country in the world that has a constitution like we do. There is no other country in the world that allows individual rights and freedoms the way that we do.
Only thing I'll say as we close and end on this blessed day of giving thanks, not that I'm closing down the episode, this is just my final
thought. No, we're closing the episode.
Is, as a melting pot, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've heard the analogy.
We had the cartoon growing up, the Great American Melting Pot.
Right, from Schoolhouse Rock.
That's it.
We're a melting pot. We're not a tossed salad.
Oh no.
Yes.
No. Who wants to be a tossed salad?
I like tossed salad.
I don't mind a tossed salad on the side here and there, but I don't want to be a tossed
but
salad.
But a melting pot, you think about the analogy, the metaphor, a melting pot, the stuff you put into it is not
what comes out.
Not what comes out.
Yeah.
Everything is congealed and it's put together and it's mixed and it's reconstituted into something unique.
That's right.
And you can't come into this country and say, and you can't be in this country and say,
exactly,
what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours and what's mine is better than yours.
No.
And the fact that you know, for, like you said, almost 300 years, America has become what America is because of the blending of peoples and cultures and in the creation of something unique.
That's right.
And just like the coming together of religions to find a common point of reference, you know, where Hindus and Catholics and Muslims and deists and Taoists and all of that can come together and say, this is what's common about our faiths, and let's just celebrate that.
Yeah.
Let's just be thankful for our uniqueness, be thankful for our togetherness, be thankful for the fact that we live in a land that allows for all that.
Absolutely. And speaking of people that take advantage of freedoms all the time, there is my sweet T. Dalba's son right here next to me. He just woke up from his nap.
He came for some beer.
Pretty much, he can't have that yet. Maybe some rye, but...
I've got some rye.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Yes, Dalbus. As we get ready to throw the bird into the heater over there, get some food going. Jeez. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Happy holidays. Remember to keep thinking deeply. Keep on it. Keep doing what you're doing, everybody, because, you know, this is America. It's what it's all about.
Go celebrate capitalism tomorrow, Black Friday. I can't wait to see you all on YouTube and your videos.
That's
and
it.
You pummeling each other at Walmart.
Don't hurt each other.
Yeah. And until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good,
be good at it.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Ciao.
Happy holidays. Go check out the HG Universal Network, hguniversalnetwork.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.